Hey, welcome to Crossroads, everybody. Looks like none of you ran the Flying Pig this morning. Congratulations. Why don't you stand up? We're going to spend some time worshiping. And if you're joining us online, make sure you turn your speakers up or your headphones up real loud so you can sing along with us, all right? Who breaks the power?
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of Glory.
I am.
I
Teach you guys this new song. Sing this with me. My heart hangs on every word.
My heart hangs on every word that you speak. I need you, Lord, come find me. Holy Spirit, breathe. I've been walking through deserts. I need more of your presence. I'm weak. Savior, be my strength. Down in the valley. Down in the
God, we thank you for the power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. the same power that is offered to us with you as our Savior. We I thank you that you would see our steps here as steps of wanting to encounter something greater than we have before. I pray that you would meet us here and reveal yourself to us in a way that we would know is truly you. Thanks, guys. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, thanks for singing along. Thanks for letting us teach you this new tune. We're going to be singing it a lot around here, I think. Why don't you do me a favor? Say hi to some folks around you. Maybe ask them how long they've been coming to Crossroads, and then have a seat. And if you're at home, this will be time for a quick pit stop.
My name is Lynn Watson. I have three fantastic things to share with you this morning. The first one being, today is the last day that we get to experience the Brave experience at CityLink. So, if you're thinking, what's the Brave experience? You know what? It's an interactive immersion for you and I specifically so that we can shut out the worries of the day, this world, and grow deeper with Christ. It's happening down at CityLink. Today's the last day. You can go to crossroads.net/brave and find out the exact times. You don't want to miss it. We have this tradition at Crossroads. We've been doing it for about 10 years now, and we're not going to stop, and it's called Go Cincinnati. Yes, it's happening May 14th. In fact, tomorrow is the last day for you to sign up your team, your Brave team, your family, your friends. We have 500 projects that we are gonna get finished on May 14th, and we need 8,000 of us. We need our hands and feet, literally, to blitz the city for one day. So tomorrow, make sure you signed up before tomorrow. Go to crossroads.net/GoCincinnati. The next thing is baptisms. It's near and dear to my heart. In fact, next weekend, we're going to get to celebrate baptisms at every service at all sites. Yes. Yeah. It's awesome. In fact, April of 2006, I was baptized right here on this stage. And so if you have been in this experience for the last 5 weeks and you feel that God is calling you into a deeper relationship with you, and that relationship includes your baptism, you want to be here next weekend. You want to be here to celebrate that with folks. So you want to go to crossroads.net/baptism, read the frequently asked questions document, and find out if this is the next step for you. We encourage you to do that. Right now is the time that we get to be generous, because at Crossroads, we are sacrificial givers. This is the way we get to get out of the boat and fuel those things that God is telling us to be brave and run after. And so volunteers are going to come down the aisle. They're going to pass a bag, and you can put check or money in the bag, or you can go on crossroads.net/give and set up an electronic automatic e-gift. It's the best way. It's the easiest way to do that. And while we do that, we're going to have an opportunity to hear from a world-renowned Bible scholar. He's fast becoming a friend of ours at Crossroads. His name is Arye, and he's going to talk to us about what it means to be brave.
What is the meaning to be brave? To my understanding, what is not to be brave? To jump to the water to rescue somebody when you don't know to swim is not brave, it's foolishness. Is brave means no fear? The answer is definitely no. The way that you are overcoming the fear, this is the real braveness. You know, the only way not to fear the enemy is really to know who is God. One of the main ways is to watch other brave people. For me, Jesus was the example. In a way, it was like a parachute. He jumped to a land which he knew that he's going to be caught. and he did everything that he will be caught. It's just opposite to what we do. So what he did, it is the top of the top of the bravest. His braveness came from two main things. I don't do my will, but my Father's will. So if you really, really understand that you are not in this world for your will, but your Father's will, you will pass moments in your life that people will call it braveness. How people can achieve this, but really every day take time to hear the call of the commander, what he wants from you. Let us pray that the Lord will open our eyes. And when your eyes are open, you can stand. You can stand in any hard situation. Yeah, I was 10 times in situation when I was 100% had to be killed. And after you get a hand grenade into the middle of ambush, that you are commanding this ambush, people, right, PLO, are shooting you on the same seconds, and almost no one gets a scratch. You understand that those who are with us are much bigger than those who are against you. Not because I'm better than my friend that were killed or wounded or all. No, no. But the moment you do the will of God and you please him, he has plans for you, and his business is to keep you. Standing in this trial when hundreds of people are watching you, I know that this one day can be the greatest witness for them to know who is our God. I think that we have to teach our next generation to be brave. First, witnessing. First, show them models. Show them the reward of God to those who were standing in these models. Show them about the life of men of God, to act like they acted when they were so close to lose their lives even. The word of God is not only theological things. They are practical things. The most important thing is to go to the Bible itself and take examples. And these examples are living forever in their life. These are the brave people that Jesus is calling them to follow him.
Can you hear me now? There it is. Okay. All right. Yeah, it's first service of the day. What do you expect? Come on now. That's my favorite Jew in the whole world right there. He is. You know, that's an interesting thing. I just said find my favorite Jew. I mean, that's an odd word, right? I mean, it's like descriptive Jew, and you can also just, your tone can make it a bad word, like Jew. It's fascinating. He is an amazing, amazing guy. Last week, as you were here, there was a sermon we gave where I was over in Israel, and people said, man, how was it being over in Israel? I recorded that like a year and a half ago. So it's great to be able to do that this last weekend. But I'm actually getting ready because we're going to have in October an entire series of my favorite places in the Holy Land, and I think it's going to be a really good one coming up in October. But, you know, one of the big, huge things that was just announced was Go Cincinnati. I'm excited about Go Cincinnati because the last couple of years, I've been out of town, but this year, I'm going to be able to make it, and I can. Who's with me for May 14th, Go Cincinnati? Come on, what else are you going to do? You're going to sit around, watch Netflix or something like that? You're not going to do anything else. You can't do any work around your house. Everything in every rental agency, every rental shop across the tri-state area, it's all rented out, it's gone. You want people to rent anything else to do work around your house. I'm looking forward to that. You know, one of the reasons why we're able to do that is because we've had different sites of Crossroads. Our first site of Crossroads was in Hyde Park, then we went to Oakley, And that site in Oakley has then gone to having a site in Mason. We have added a site in Florence and the West Side, a site in Uptown, a site up in Oxford. Of course, sites all over the country through Crossroads anywhere right now. And we're looking for a new traditional site to go out in the highest concentration of Crossroaders we have, which is in the eastern suburbs of Cincinnati. And if you're part of the I'm In campaign, this is those of us who've made three-year commitments above and beyond. We regularly give because we're in. So those of us who are in at Crossroads have made those commitments. And you got an email teaser this last week saying, hey, I want to tell you what exactly our giving is going to be able to do on the east side for one of our elements. And I'll just let us all know, we are, yes, going. We have signed a deal. We are absolutely having another site on the eastern suburbs of Cincinnati. It's a little place you might have heard of, a little place you might have heard of called Jungle Gyms. You ever hear of that place? Yeah, we are going to be inhabiting at Jungle Gyms, the old Hobby Lobby right beside it. And in addition to that, you'll see that there's two big old parking lots that we're going to have access to on the front and of the back of that space, the old Hobby Lobby. And we're also going to be adding a 2,000-seat auditorium that we've been having renderings and architects for to go there. We are really excited about this. Those of you in the east side, you've been waiting a long, long, long time. And we're coming to be able to give you a better opportunity to reach your friends who are not going to drive all the way over to wherever they go to. And I just want to thank everyone who's in around here. Way to go. Way to be generous and enable us to do that. It's good, good stuff. Well, before I get into what I'm going to look at today, it is very appropriate for us to pray. So pray for us right now. God, I ask that you would use the words that you have prepped me with, that these words that would please to you, that's really all I want, God. I want you to be pleased with what happens today. And I'm hoping that part of the result is that you have more people who are brought into a relationship with you. You have more of us who are filled and empowered by your Spirit. Help me be clear today and help us be different when we leave here. And I pray these things according to the identity and person of Jesus. Amen. Well, things have been trickling in about how the Brave Journey has had an impact on a lot of us. Here's one of my more favorite emails that came in recently. The person says, I sit here at my desk at work eating lunch. I teach high school physics at a public school, but there's a lot of negativity of drugs, violence, and home issues exist. But right now, I see a glimpse of light. In front of me is a brave young group of seven high school students, not all attend Crossroads, who are currently meeting for their weekly Brave group. One of the students approached me at the beginning of the journey and asked me if they could host their Brave group in my room during lunch a few times a week. Teaching in a public school, this was quite a challenge, and I had to clear it with my principal first, but she agreed. Listening to their group meet, they gave me permission, has really inspired me and actually resulted in my heading for the journey. Quote, allow God to use me to bring positivity and more of his presence, peace and joy, into the school setting, both with my coworkers and my students. Yeah, that's good. Really good. So big idea today is this. You can be a different person. You can possess a different person inside of yourself that can enable you to be brave and powerful beyond your ideas and understandings. That verse that we looked at earlier before that new song we did, how cool is that new song on the, Down the Valley? I'm like, we want to go back to our basements and find our old guitars and pull them out and plug them in and just do some power chords. That was an awesome song. Here's, in case you missed it, here was the verse that set up that song, Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Notice here that this spirit, if the spirit is capitalized, and why is it capitalized? Because you capitalize names of individuals. The Holy Spirit in the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not a power. The Holy Spirit is not an aura. The Holy Spirit is a person. It is a person. And that person was the force that brought a lifeless corpse of Jesus after he died on the cross back to life. Now, I would love to go into the historical realities of why the most rational conclusions that Jesus did literally, physically, and historically rise from dead. I'm not going to go into all that today. I was going to say there's a reason why people celebrate him all over the world and why we date time after him. And people went went to their deaths because they could not recant. They could have easily gotten out of their death, but they didn't get out of their death because they couldn't recant that they had seen actually the risen Jesus who actually came back from the dead. And the power of it was the Holy Spirit. And that verse says that same entity that brought Jesus back from the dead is the same one who can fill you and I. You can possess the Holy Spirit that gives you power and abilities that go beyond what you have right now, that enables you to be brave. How much more brave could you be if you know you had more power and ability and capacities than you have right now? There's things right now that you can't do that you could do if you had the Holy Spirit. There's things right now that you're afraid to do that you could be courageous to do and confident to do if you had the Holy Spirit. There's things right now that you can't stop. You're tired, you keep doing it. Why do I keep doing it? You can't stop it. But you could stop it if you had the Holy Spirit and His power residing in you. There's things right now that you can't sustain. You're like, I don't know that I can keep going. But you can sustain it. You can sustain with the power of the Holy Spirit. We get all excited about Eastside. Ooh, awesome. Great. I'll tell you what, it is like butt pucker city for me whenever I sign papers on something like that. It's not exciting for me. It honestly isn't. It's not. I like Crossroads the way it is. I've liked Crossroads the way it is for a long, long time. I got the life that I want. I got everything. Like I don't need more responsibility. I don't need more responsibility of sustaining things. And the only reason I get excited about that is because the possibility of God touching more people and the Holy Spirit inside of me enables me to be brave and take on more responsibility. That's a Holy Spirit thing. It's nothing that I would want. And that is the way God wants to operate in you, to take you outside of where you naturally want to be, to help you do different things financially, different things relationally, different things physically, different things emotionally, different things occupationally. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes in and He infuses us with power to do the different. One of the more crazy things that happened, the first crazy thing that we see the Holy Spirit doing, really, in the New Testament, we see Jesus is taken away, Jesus leaves earth, and what's left is His disciples. And His disciples are gathering together in Jerusalem, because it was the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost was a Jewish holiday, and all the Jews would come together and celebrate that. And these Jewish believers wanted to be around each other, just like today. You know, jocks like to be with the jocks, you know, the cheerleaders like to be with the cheerleaders, the brains like to be with the brains. You know, it was back, same back then. So the Jewish believers wanted to be with the Jewish believers. So they were hanging out, and then it happened. Jesus told them it would happen, but they didn't understand what He was talking about. It happened. The Holy Spirit came down, boom, and filled them. No longer would you have to go to a building to encounter God. You would actually have God inside of you. I'm not talking about all of us are divine. We're not divine. I mean, you should know that by now. You should. At least everyone around you knows that you're not divine. It's like a weird like idea. It sounds so enlightened. It's stupid. You're not divine. People around you know that you're not divine. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you receive Jesus, you possess divinity. And by the way, I'm sorry to crack on you, but that's just kind of who I am. I'm a natural equal opportunity offender. So when the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, we possess divinity because we possess Him, not in and of our own selves, but because of Him being there. And when He comes inside of all these believers, all of a sudden they start speaking languages they had never learned before. It's like going up all over the place. It's crazy. I mean, languages like they're going French, Chinese, Spanish, Kentuckian. They're doing all these. Kentucky people are going like, oh, he's not right, cracking. Let me tell you what. If you don't see humor in Kentucky jokes, then you don't know Kentucky. You just don't. And you know, if you're in Florence or you're in Fort Thomas, I'm sorry, you don't live in Kentucky. You live across the river. You understand those Kentucky jokes if you go in real Kentucky. Go about an hour south and get off 75, and then you'll understand it. And God loves those people. He loves them. Wants them to have shoes. He does. All those people He loves. They're speaking languages that they've never learned. Why are they speaking languages? They're speaking languages they've never learned because they're speaking dialects. that they will use as they bravely go to other parts of the world and share the message of who Jesus is. See, when the Holy Spirit gives you power, what he does, he doesn't just want you to have feel-good, spine-tingly times. He wants to equip you to be used to go someplace. And so it's like cacophony. You just imagine all these people speaking. How excited would you be to speak a language that someone has to go to grad school or live in a culture for years and years to learn, but you get a bam like that. You'd be like, oh, this is great. You'd be talking loud. You'd be having a good old time. Everyone's doing that right now. And everyone hears them who hasn't been filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're going, what is wrong? These people are wasted. They're utterly drunk. Now, Peter grabs the mic. Peter, again, is the one who is brave. We see it time and time again. Here's what he says. Well, these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. That's his best excuse for why they're not drunk. It's like he could say, hey, these people aren't drunk because you know we're all teetotalers. You know none of us drink. He doesn't say that. He says, you're not drunk because you know we don't do our serious drinking at 9 a.m. Come on now. That's like his excuse. I love that. That's awesome. He's such a simple guy, and he gives these powerful things because he has received power. And Acts chapter 4:8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, and we often see this phrase preceding an amazing, powerful thing that's about to take place. It says, Peter filled the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say, and Peter gave it his best and said to them, and Peter gave it the old college try and said to them, or, and Peter, freshly motivated from a Tony Robbins conference, said to them, no, Peter is freshly filled with the Holy Spirit. Three big ideas. Number one, being filled is different than being motivated. Being filled is different than being motivated. The self-help industry is alive and well, and I like the self-help industry. I'm very thankful for the teachings and writings of Stephen Covey. I think that Brené Brown is a wonderful woman who is just a good woman, good stuff to say. I think Tony Robbins, I mean, pretty impressive dude, the things that he's done. I got nothing against those folks or that industry. Let's just understand, the self-help industry can help you so long as you have the resources in yourself. So the limits to which the self-help will help you is your own self. So if you have greater capacity in yourself, you might get closer to that capacity, but in the end, the only thing that you'll be able to get from self-help is yourself. I mean, think about that. I mean, if you need financial help, you don't want financial self-help because you don't have the resources for it, right? If you need emotional self-help, you don't want just your own emotions where you are. You need something from the outside to help you, to patch you up. So we just have to understand that if we keep looking inside, like I hear people say, all the solutions we need are right inside of ourselves. Well, then we have no hope at all. I'm sorry. It's a ridiculous saying. No, we need help from the outside. And Jesus wants to fill us. The Holy Spirit wants to fill us and change us. The story continues. This Jesus, the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, Peter says, which has become the cornerstone. And there is revelation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. He says, look, we need intervention. And while you killed them, we killed them, Jews who were rebellious, we killed him. Understand, this is the foundation of the future, and he's the name by which all of us need to be saved. What does that mean? It means that God is a just God. It means that all of us have offended him and have come against him, and there needs to be consequences or else God isn't just. And I can either pay for the consequences of my own rebelliousness, of my own iniquities, of my own improprieties, of my own indiscretions, of my own inappropriateness, or as the Bible says, my own sin. I can either pay for it for myself in eternity when I die, or Jesus can pay for it and save me from having to pay for it myself. So it means to be saved. And he's the only person who does that. He's the only one. We can get really drawn into you know, different philosophical ideas and different spiritual ideas. And we're so oftentimes drawn to philosophical and spiritual ideas because it takes us inside of ourself. It makes us feel good because we're thinking. It makes us feel good that we're smarter than somebody else. It makes us feel like I'm enlightened. The enlightening thing is this. It's very simple. I don't look inside of myself to go to a new place. I look outside of myself and have someone outside of me come into myself. The feeling of myself that affects my life right now and affects my eternity forever. I can have my own limits or I can have God's limits. What limits do you want? I know which ones I have. Acts 4:13, and when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They were unschooled, ordinary men. Second big decision is we can either be discipled or we can be schooled. Being discipled is different than being schooled. Peter and John were living with Jesus for years, living under his tutelage. They actually lived with each other in community even after Jesus was gone. They were building into one another spiritually. That's what it means to disciple somebody. They're being discipled. They're placing themselves under. And as a result of those connections and the filling of the Holy Spirit, they had power, so much so, the people who had schooling, had more pedigree, had more degrees, said, who are these people? How are they coming up with these ideas that seem so right and seem so profound? How is it they're getting as much done as they are? They don't have the actual schooling for this. What, these are unschooled, ordinary men. Yeah, but they've been discipled, and they've been filled, and they're different, powerful. People ask me fairly frequently who feel like they want to go into a career change, they want to go into a vocational ministry. They say, hey, Brian, should I go to seminary? What seminary do you recommend and all that kind of stuff? And I think seminary is a good thing. I think it's a fine thing, but you just have to understand that you have to know why it is you're going to seminary. Simply being schooled doesn't prepare you for ministry. Great schooling doesn't equip you to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't. So I say, hey, well, if you feel like you're called to go to a church that's in a denomination and you have to have ordination, and inside that ordination they require a seminary degree, then you need to do it, and here's some ones you look at. Or if you're saying, I have some intellectual gaps, I have some theological gaps in my understanding of the Bible, and I want to dig deeper into an original language for my own personal spiritual maturity, and I feel this is necessary. If you've got reasons there, then okay, good. But if you think like this is a mark that you get, better schooling is a mark that you get to be able to be used and feel God more, no, it's never done that. Never has. I am unschooled for the most part, as many of you know. If you've ever heard me talk for 5 minutes, I can't believe I can string sentences together. I had a stellar 225 in high school. My 4-year degree in college took me 7 years to get done. I started pulling it together in seminary. I was in a system that required that, so I did go to seminary. I didn't do too bad, but you know, my preaching class, I was the lowest grade in my preaching class. And anyone who knows me from high school, from college or seminary, anyone who knows me would go, who is that guy? How in the world is he doing what he's doing? I just want to tell you, friends, God gets all the credit. It's not me and my schooling. It's the filling of the Spirit in my life. I'm telling you right now, no one who knows me would have ever thought that God would use it. No one ever would. And this is the way it is with you. You don't need a higher degree to be used at a higher degree by God. You don't need that. If God is calling you there, great, go there. But do not think that A's and B's and all kinds of things are going to equip you to be used. No, it's different from being filled, different from being discipled. That's the stuff that equips us for things that are outside of our capacity, outside of our normal abilities. I have a friend of mine who's gay, and we got in a conversation not long ago, and he said, you know, it just bothers me when people who aren't gay refer to those of us who are gay as broken. And, you know, oftentimes we'll do that as pastors to say, hey, let's give grace to all of us are broken. He said, and he looked at me and said, are you broken? Even before he could end the question, he said, yes, Absolutely, I'm broken. Let me tell you some ways. One, I really get bothered that when I'm in groups of people, I'm always measuring myself against them. What's my schooling relative to theirs? What's my intelligence relative to theirs? What's my accomplishment relative to theirs? How's my kids behave relative to theirs? I'm constantly comparing myself to others to feel whether or not I'm worthy or not. I look back on my family and when I raised kids when they were younger, and I just grieve that I was always defaulting to hard guy, always defaulting to disciplinarian. I gave grace to my kids, but not as much as I should have. And I just had something in me that I regret that. I go to another city and I go into a hotel, and every time I go into a hotel, it's like it's temptation time. It's like I could so easily be a pornaholic. Easily. Go into a hotel, I just want to like look at the descriptions of what I could get right now. I just want to like I'm drawn to that. And by the way, it's not because my wife doesn't fulfill me, it's that she does, and she is always ready and always on time. In fact, I gotta tell you. I gotta tell you, more so than I want. So it has nothing to do. Has nothing to do with her at all. But I am broken. I'm broken. I need a savior. I need a filling. I need to come under. And as a result of that, when I get to see what God does in me, and as you get to see what God does in you, God gets the credit for that. Because He is the empower, He is the filler. And I have responsibility in that because training is different than trying. Training is different than trying. There is a Flying Pig Marathon going on today. Yes, this is historically one of our lowest attended weekends because people are in the pig or they're cheering on people who are in the pig. And who's doing really well in the pig right now? Is it people who got up this morning and went, oh, all right, today I'm going to run the pig, and I'm going to try really hard. I'm going to try. Or is it people who woke up today and said, man, I've been training hard. I've been training hard, and I'm ready to go. The Holy Spirit comes and equips us, and we need to try, but that doesn't mean that we don't expand our own limits so that the Holy Spirit can have more to work with in our own lives. There is training. There's training that has to happen. We can't just say, oh, I received Jesus, I have the Holy Spirit, so I'm all good now. No, we still have to come under His schooling, still have to be discipled, still have to be doing things that invite His infilling presence on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis. Acts 4:18. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go. Notice that so frequently links the disciples together, Peter and John. Why are they linked together? Because they train together. They train with Jesus together, and they're in a small group together. The disciples go out, they start using these languages in different parts of the world. They're going with other people because one of the ways they train is they're with one another. And we all know this who did small groups. We may not have all had an A-plus experience in our small group, but all of us who were in it know that we were better because we were in a small group, because we trained. Just like you don't always have an A-plus experience when you work out, but you know that when you do, you just feel like that was just right for me. I feel a bit better. This is a way in every aspect of our lives, physically, relationally, emotionally, spiritually. One of my favorite blogs, web pages is Art of Manliness. Anyone ever see Art of Manliness? You're laughing. No, seriously, it's awesome. It's fascinating website. Here's an entry from not too long ago. We want to be ready to act in a crisis, but it's hard to stay vigilant and keep an edge when nothing ever seems to happen that calls forth our abilities. The motivation to stay sharp atrophies, and we're lulled into apathy and complacency. And as a result, men's standards, self-respect, discipline, and all-around hardihood get soft. Hardihood. Art of manliness. It's true. As part of how men get their confidence, and women as well, is just feeling that you're prepared. Feeling like if something happens, you can step in. Feeling like you have some capacity, some competency physically or whatever. And this is the way it works in the spiritual realm as well. Part of how we get filled and we get used is when I feel like, okay, I'm a God, I've been honoring you. I've been coming underneath you. I've been asking for fresh fillings of your spirit. I've been putting myself in places to encounter you. And this sort of fires up. Some of you are going right now, man, Brian, you seem a bit energetic right now. You seem like a little feisty right now. This is good. You're normally boring, but this isn't bad at all here today. It's good. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. But 5 days ago, I was over in a... I was in some event, and I bumped into a guy I know, a pastor I've had very minimal interaction with over the years, and we started talking, and I don't know what I said. I don't know if I mentioned that I was feeling a little stale or if I was a little frustrated with a few things or this or that. I don't know what it was, but he looked at me and said, well, you and I need to do a prayer covenant. I said, okay. I mean, I know what that is, when two people covenant to pray a specific way for a specific time. I said, what are you thinking? He said, 30 minutes on our knees every day. So 30 minutes straight, 15 and 15, 30 minutes. I was like, he said, okay, great. Let's do it, fine. So we go and the next day he sends me a text, got mine in. I'm like, oh, well, I see how this is working. It's gonna be a competition. My problem is, Tony, don't play that way. No, because if you're gonna start competing, then I'm gonna start winning, especially when I'm on Eastern Standard Time and you're on Pacific West Coast Time. I'll be getting done before you even go to bed. Miles McPherson is his name. Really, really good. I'll tell you what, you go like this for 30 minutes a day, interceding for people, being silent before God, processing through what's going on inside, asking for God's healing on people that you know, asking for Him to speak to you. You spend 30 minutes a day for 5 days like this, let alone for, you'll be different. You'll be more fresh. You don't have to be on your knees. You don't even have to do that. I'm not telling you what you do. I'm just saying this. I'm saying you have to figure out the posture and the disciplines that you're going to go into as a disciple that are enable you to be filled. You have to figure that out. Going to a dark auditorium at Crossroads once a week is good, but that's not going to be enough. It's power. I'll tell you what, people have been going in that posture for a long time and changing people for a long, long time. People have been filled with the Holy Spirit and empowering others for a long, long time. This is not just like a philosophy. This is what is taught in the scriptures. This is something that's borne out in history over and over and over and over again. It doesn't get talked about, but it's true. Abraham Lincoln, why is it that he was the most powerful president and the best president, arguably the most loving president, arguably the most wise president, arguably the best leader in the history of our country? I believe it's because he possessed the Holy Spirit. I believe it's because his faith enabled him to have capacities and patience that were outside of what a normal human would have. Here's what he says. And having thus chosen our course without guile and with pure purpose, let us renew our trust in God and go forward without fear and with manly hearts. Florence Nightingale, the founder of the modern nursing movement. She came to understand it and invent it during the Crimean War as the British were in war. And anytime you go to a hospital, if you see a nursing staff or the way things are operated, if you feel blessed by that, it's because of Florence Nightingale and her faithfulness and her innovation and because she was filled with the Holy Spirit. She said, if I could give you information of my life, it would be to show how a woman of very ordinary ability has been led by God in strange and unaccustomed paths to do in his service what he has done in her. And if I could tell you all, you would see how God has done all and I nothing. I have worked hard, very hard, that is all, and I have never refused God anything. Our country is different because of Martin Luther King. It's different because of the way he innovated and protested and stood his ground and encouraged other people to stand their ground and take bullets and take lashes for a higher call. And where did he get his innovation from? Where did he get his fortitude from? By the way, all these people, we're looking at all of them, always have mistakes because all of us are still in bodies that are flawed. But you can still have issues that God's taking you through and have the presence of the Spirit to elevate you beyond where anyone else could possibly think you would be. Martin Luther King is one of those. Here's what he says. By opening our lives to God in Christ, we become new creatures. This experience, which Jesus spoke of as the new birth, is essential if we are to be transformed nonconformists. Only through an inner spiritual transformation do we gain the strength to fight vigorously the evils of the world in a humble and loving spirit. Francis Collins, I believe the most influential scientist of our day, absolutely the greatest leader who's a scientist of our day. He was commissioned by the U.S. government and others to be the leader of the Human Genome Project. All of the DNA stuff that's happening, all of it that is like really taken off and being amazing, Ancestry.com, and just innovation science, all because of him and his leadership of mapping the human genome. And he did that, he would say, because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's what he says. He says, I do not believe that the God who created all the universe and who communes with his people through prayer and spiritual insight would expect us to deny the obvious truths of the natural world that science has revealed to us in order to prove our love for him. It's not just big folks like that. It's other people who are actually part of our church who you may know. Kirk Perry, who spoke here at Crossroads, who has a background in utter poverty and through crazy circumstances was able to get a college education, went from there to being an executive at P&G and then now being a senior executive at Google out of poverty and coming down, as he told us last time he was with us, with stage 4 lymph node cancer. That's where he was. And guess what? Through prayer and medicine, in the power of the Holy Spirit, he is healed. He has zero cancer in his body. He is cancer-free. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Kurt Platt. Kurt Platt was a crack addict. And we think, there's no way. No one ever comes back from crack. You can't have a great life after that. Well, don't tell the Holy Spirit that. If the Holy Spirit got a grip of his life, got him clean. He has helped hundreds of people in our community who have addiction issues, and he is the driving artistic force behind the buildings the Crossroads builds, and a perfect friend of mine. He's amazing. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in Kurt Platt's life. You might have heard of, or not have heard of, Kirsten Schwartz, promising career in corporate America, and things were going just great, and then she was ready to have her first kid, and as the child was born, the umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck, and he died. And this led her to deep soul searching, to leave the amazing salary and perks and benefits she was able to get in the business world and come on staff here at Crossroads. Why would she be able to do, why would she want it? Because the Holy Spirit is equipping and doing her that in her. Leiden Faust decided to do something different. He wanted to get away from his normal job, and he felt like he needed to be in a place to learn and grow. And he comes and he volunteers at the Unpolished Conference, our conference for faith-filled entrepreneurs last fall. He volunteered because he was going to move on to something else. He didn't have the money to pay for his own ticket, so he figured, I'd volunteer and I'll just watch. So he volunteers and he watches, and then he finds out there's a pitch contest, and anybody's idea is going to be able to go up on the screen if they make the final cut of 10, and the winner is going to get money, and he's had this idea. So all of a sudden, he's got to now become a paid entrant to the conference. So he takes his cash grocery money and takes a gamble, buys a ticket, comes in, goes home that night, does his own video on his phone, pitches it, gets in the final 10, they play it, and he wins it. He wins $3,000. Awesome. And then, as a result of that, he goes in the Ocean Accelerator, which is a thing to help people's entrepreneurial ideas accelerate into reality to where venture capitalists could back it and totally scale it and take off. And he gives his pitch, demo day, right here in this stage this last week. Venture capitalists from all over the country are in this place right here. And he lays out this idea that is, honestly, it is a trillion dollar idea. I kid you not. It's like, we're like, man. This is like, so it's not just an idea. He's got a working prototype. And everyone's like, wait a minute, are we in Cincinnati right now? Laudan would tell you it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Carrie Gottrod, her husband Joel, our other amazing heroes that have the power of the Holy Spirit enables them to do crazy things. And let's just look at their story.
When we met Oscar, it was a bit of a shock. His condition had deteriorated quite a bit from when we first got the call about him. He was 9 days old, losing weight, and in heart failure. It was clear that Oscar wasn't leaving the hospital anytime soon. We were facing impending heart surgery and an indefinite stay in Philly with Oscar, while our three girls were back home without us. So Joel went home to be with the girls and I stayed. My mommy heart was torn, but my time in Philly was made much sweeter thanks to a wonderful family who opened their home and hearts to me. Total strangers at first, but they loved Jesus and they loved me well. It took almost 3 weeks, but we were able to arrange a medical flight with Grace on Wings, a crew of experts who also love Jesus. And within 12 hours of launching a fundraising website, the flight was paid in full. By God's grace, Oscar fought and flourished once at Cincinnati Children's, so much so that the doctors delayed his surgery and sent him home to grow. After a month of growing and lots of love from his sisters, it was time to do his open heart surgery. Oscar's recovery has been astounding. He's a new boy. No more heart failure. No more feeding tubes. Lots of coos and smiles. Many have asked us, this must have been so hard. How are you all doing? And seriously, it has been good. And I'm not lying when I say it. It's been more than good. See, it had just been 21 days since we had updated our adoption paperwork when we got the call about Oscar. And it had only been a year since our last adoption. But we knew this was our son. This was our Oscar. When we started driving to Philly, we were unsure of how we'd pay all the fees. But this being our third adoption in 4 years, God had already shown us time and time again, He provides. We can trust Him. God's army has surrounded us, and our community and people we didn't even know stepped up and became a part of Oscar's story, making this all relatively easy. When you can step out of a boat into raging waters and not sink at all, but walk on water, your world is never the same. Taking risk has shown us that all we want to do is live for Jesus. There is no greater joy. And that's what true freedom really is. Living a surrendered life for Jesus and experiencing peace and joy in the midst of chaos. Thank you. Every single bit of support has been felt and extremely appreciated. I hope the story God is writing for our precious Oscar encourages you to take risk and be brave for Jesus. Because there is no limit to what He'll do and no limit to the joy you'll receive.
Where does a family get that kind of power? It's the Holy Spirit. Or I could tell you of Susan Haskins, an 18-year-old woman who had a child out of wedlock and chose to bravely give him up for adoption. And guess what? She got married sometime after that to a guy who was a volunteer in an organization called Young Life. That organization called Young Life would also be the organization that would bring her son, who she would never meet, to Christ as a tobacco-chewing jock in Murrysville, Pennsylvania. And that's my birth mother. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, I tell you her name right now because I've not been able to find her or my birth dad. But I know a lot of us are really good on the internet. So Susan Haskins, get on it. Go find it. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, born October 1st, 1965. It's changed my life. It's changed everyone's life who's ever received the Holy Spirit. It's this simple. Now, we're going to do something old school. This is old school. We're going to do old school like every head bowed. And I'm gonna give you the opportunity, if you've never received Jesus, if you've never received the Holy Spirit, to do that right now. Do that right now. Why wouldn't you do this? It's that simple. It really is that simple. So let's all bow our heads right now. Let's bow them right now. And if you've never received Jesus and you want the Holy Spirit in your life, I want to see your hand go up right now. If you've never received, there it is. Come on now. Come on. All right. Here we go. Just pray this with me. God, I thank you for today. And Jesus, I want you in my life. I pray that you forgive me for my sin. You would start healing my broken places. And Holy Spirit, fill me right now. I want your power. I will honor you to the best of my ability for the rest of my life. Amen. Welcome to the family. Let's welcome new people to the family right now. Welcome. You've been adopted. You've been adopted. Great next step is going to be for you next weekend. You don't want to miss next weekend. Also, if you know somebody else who's been filled before, talk to them. Let them know. They'll be happy for it. And let's just somberly and reflectively give these words to God right now.
Sing, your touch bringing me closer. Your touch bringing me closer. Your hand healing what's broken. My prayer, Father, meet me here. My life for all of your glory. Your grace, let it surround me. Let faith change the atmosphere down in the valley. Down in the valley, when waters rise, I'm still believing hope is alive. And all through the struggle and darkest day, I'll remember the empty grave.
Do you guys stand? Sing that verse again.
And your touch bringing me closer. Your hand healing what's broken. My prayer, Father, meet me here. In my life, for all of your glory, your grace, let it surround me. Let change the atmosphere. Down in the valley, when waters rise, I'm still believing hope is alive. All through the struggle and darkest day,
and you can be filled. You need to walk in confidence out of here today. Walk in confidence that whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're seeing, God has you if he's in you. You can go beyond. You can do all things through him who strengthened you, including Slam for Go Cincinnati. We'll see you later. Bye now.